Right. This is Pastor Justin Pierce with Evening Devotionals, and we're going to wait just a moment to get started. I started about 5 minutes late trying to set up our new system, and it appears to be working pretty well. We're outside because it's such a beautiful, beautiful evening, and I just wanted to spend the evening with everyone outside, just enjoying God's creation and His wonderful, wonderful blessings on us in this time. So we'll just take just a moment, and we have a comment. Gary, it looks like Gary's online. He says, "I am here." That's good. That's good. I hope it's looking good. I hope it's going well. Let's see. We're just figuring out this stuff, so we're figuring out how to use it and whatnot. And you know, with new technology, it takes a little bit of time just to get everything underway, but it seems to all be working very well. And I'll figure out how to do the camera, get all the video camera going on the right angles and all that, so it's not distracting. So since we're already started, it looks like we've got people online already. I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for being online with us. We're in Proverbs 18, so if you want to get your Bibles and open up the Bible to Proverbs 18, and let's begin in prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come before you and glorify and exalt your name. We want to magnify you, Lord, and worship you, and thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Lord, yet we have another day to praise and exalt your holy name, and we thank you for that opportunity, even in the midst of any hardship, Lord. Glorify yourself this day. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. So today we're going to actually talk about being separated unto God. And let's go ahead and take a look at the Proverbs. And in chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18, on this month, we're looking at, let's go ahead and get started. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with honor or with dishonor comes scorn. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth causes blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. He also who is slack in his word is brother to him who destroys. The verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and he is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall, his own imagination. Ooh. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly to him and shame to him. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first to plead his cause seems right until another comes and examines him. The cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between mighty ones. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a citadel with the fruit, verse 20, with the fruit of man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Okay, that's the verses we're going to be dealing with today. So with the concept that I was thinking on today is the idea of the person that is separated unto God. He's given himself to the Lord, and he has opened himself up to the wisdom of God and to the understanding of God's ways, to seek to know God and to understand his ways. And that's something that every single one of us needs to be doing. You know, every one of us needs to be with all of our heart trying to seek after the things of God and understand his ways and his wisdom and understand what it is that our God would have us to be about. Now, if you will look with me for a minute here, it starts out by saying, he who separates himself seeks his own desire, he quarrels against all sound wisdom. Now, the idea here is not, you know, that it's a bad thing to be separated in general from the world, but to isolate yourself in your own understanding, your own wisdom, your own guidance. You know best. You don't have to have anyone to teach you. You don't have to have mentors and disciples or people that will bring you up and teach you and grow you. You can do it all on your own. You don't need God to guide you. You know all wisdom. You know, unfortunately, children today, they know everything there is to know. And of course, we're finding out today that the children of the 30s and the 40s didn't teach well enough for the children of the 50s and the 60s. And now the children of the 50s and 60s, they're leading, and the 70s, they're leading our nation. And a vast majority of them are leading in their own wisdom, their own thoughts, their own world. You know, they had so many people that would shun God and hate God. And it sounded good because nothing bad happened to them. It sounded good. It's kind of the idea. I remember when I was I was probably 8 years old or something along that line. My mom would tell me all the time, you know, if you dishonor God or if you speak badly, you know, using foul words, and you dishonor God, he's going to get you. You know, lightning will strike you from down, you know, from on high. Lightning will strike you. You don't ever take God's name in vain. You don't do these things. And then I remember one time, I think I was about 8, my mom spanked me. And I got really mad at God because my mom spanked me, which I deserved the spanking. And I said a really, really bad word that God did not like at all. And he says is a really bad thing. I said something really bad. And I remember falling down on the ground, just saying, Lord, don't strike me down. Don't strike me down. You know, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And lightning never came. And I'm looking around going, huh, well, God didn't strike me dead. And so I thought, okay, well, he didn't strike me dead, so he's not going to. And I thought it was okay for me to say that stuff and to do that stuff. And so as a result of me not being struck down, what did I do? I said it again. And then I said it again. And then my mom caught me, and she washed my mouth out with soap and wore me out. And I realized, it took me a while, but I realized that even though God did not strike me dead, he didn't do it for me. He did it in his grace and his kindness to show his mercy to me. Okay? When I choose to go my own way and I choose to ignore God because nothing bad happened yet, that's a fool saying, you know, Russian roulette. That's a fool saying it's not Russian roulette. There's a bullet. It's going to happen. Okay. You keep pulling that trigger long enough, it's going to happen. It's not chance. Okay. You're going to meet God, and you're going to answer for the things that you've decided to do on your own. Just like we talked about the other day when we talked about the responsibility of man. If you separate yourself from true knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and you decide, I don't need God. I don't need anyone to teach me. I can be my own teacher because, well, the Bible says I'm the chief priest of my home, and that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us. So I don't need anybody to teach us at all. Well, the scripture also makes it clear, not only does it make it clear that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you are the chief priest of your home, but not only that, but that God has given you apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors and leaders, and he's given this so it's to build up the saints. So don't trust in your own wisdom. Don't be separated unto your own wisdom. Don't be separated into the world, but be separated unto God. You know, the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. The idea here is that we do not yoke ourselves with the world. We don't yoke ourselves with wickedness. And we certainly don't yoke ourselves with false believers or people that just do not know the scripture. They haven't studied to show themselves approved. My daughter and I were learning this idea of being unequally yoked. And what I did is I grabbed a couple of, I grabbed a long piece of a board. And I put it into a block, a big heavy block. And I asked her, I said, can you go ahead and grab a hold of this and lift it? And she tries to lift it. She says, no, it's way too hard for me. And so I said, okay, you grab one side and I'll grab the other side. And it was like a 10-foot long board. And I put myself on the other side, way on the far on the other side. And I said, okay, go ahead and lift it. And she's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I started inching closer and closer. And all of a sudden she found out that it was easier. The yoking ourselves together with believers and with the Lord is how we come to wisdom and knowledge. And we struggle through this life and we work through this life and come to understanding together. When we're trying to do it all on our own and without God, we're trying to do it on our own. We have separated ourselves. And we will bring destruction upon ourselves because our wisdom, while it may sound really good, without God and without the people of God, without the word of God, it's only our own vain imaginations. And we need to be very careful of that. Let's look a little bit more. Well, I can get my mouse to work with me. Look a little more here. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. And that, okay, we're going to jump into one and two here with this. You think about this. How many people do you know that say, I don't need to be in church. I don't need to be in fellowship. I don't need anybody to teach me. I have my own wisdom. I have my own understanding. And I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the truth. Well, who made each one of us the arbitrators of truth? Nobody did. Okay. God is the standard of truth and his word is truth. And we must submit and surrender to that. And you can say, well, what are you doing teaching then? I am a pastor ordained by Almighty God. And the people in our church and multitudes of people have recognized that. And under the authority of the word of God, they have called me out to preach the word and teach the word. I submit and surrender to all those that I teach. I submit and surrender to the word of God. They are constantly watching me. I have people in my church right now that are watching me. And if I say something or do something in error, they are going to call me out on it because it's their responsibility. Okay. I don't sit in authority over everyone saying, look at me, I'm the boss. I look and say, we surrender to the word of God and thus saith the Lord. I surrender to the word of God. I submit to the word of God and I teach it as God would call me to do. And that's what a pastor, that's what a godly teacher does. Is they teach you the sound word of God under the wisdom of God, and they surrender to both the wisdom of God and the people of God. It's not their own ideas. They don't wrestle with their own mind to give their own opinions and their own thoughts. You can always tell someone who is very strong-willed, they don't want to hear truth. They want to have their opinion be made known. They want to be argumentative. You know, we've had many people come into the church that have said, you know, well, my opinion is just as good as yours. And you're right. For every one of you thinking that, you're right. Your opinion is just as valuable as my opinion is. And our opinions are nothing. Okay. They're worthless fodder. Okay. If it's thus saith the Lord, and it comes from the word of God and it's wisdom from the scripture, that's what we submit to. We submit to God's all, you know, God's standards, God's word, the wisdom from his teaching. You know, and what we're doing is trying to pull out that wisdom. You may not agree with everything I'm saying, but I'm trying to pull out the wisdom of chapter 18 here in Proverbs so that you understand that it's not my own mind, but the word of God. And we're trying to make that, you know, to exposit and to expound and to bring out the truth of what's being said in these passages. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and dishonor comes scorn. With dishonor comes scorn. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountains of wisdom are a bubbling brook. You know, wisdom is easy. We find wisdom in the scripture. The Bible is filled here in Proverbs with an understanding and a teaching about wisdom. It's filled with the loving word of an almighty God who has, in his kindness, poured out wisdom upon his appointed men who wrote down his word and his message to us. And we're told that wisdom, it comes flowing up to us like a gentle brook to teach us. The world's ways are not that way. It's demanding and it's harsh, and it's, you're going to hear this, you're going to submit to this. It's this harsh idea of wisdom that comes from the world. Listen to what it says more. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, with this crisis, the COVID-19, and with the pandemic that's going on, I don't know if you agree or what you think about this, but I think that there is obviously signs that there are people that are overstepping their role there in government, you know, shutting down churches because, you know, the churches, we can't be together, but Walmart can be, and Target, and you can be in just about any other venue, but you can't be together in that. You see, I think one thing that strikes me as odd is you have something like Walmart, that's a, you know, huge conglomerate that's everywhere, and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people are in these Walmarts running around, and they're supporting industry from China. I'm glad that, you know, the Chinese people, I hope, are doing well, but the government is not. They're not a good government. It's a communist party government that seeks to overwhelm and destroy everyone that's not under their thumb. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. And here in America, we have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. I mean, look, I'm talking to you right now through Facebook and through YouTube and on this camera, and I would not be able to do this in many other countries, especially China. You know, we see that we have people that are really wanting to cripple our nation and to stop our nation. Well, if they really wanted to help our nation, it seems to me that they would say, we have a pandemic. We want you to do your social distancing. We want to close down Walmart because thousands of people go in there at a time, and help mom and pop stores because maybe a few people at a time come in there. You think about this. Showing partiality to the wicked is not good. I'm not saying Walmart's wicked, okay? But I'm just saying there are wicked things that are going on that we need to think about. We need to think about as Christians. Maybe it's time for us as the believers, as the body of Christ, to stand up and say, look, we want to do the most good that we can. We want to be a glory to God and a focus on our communities and helping others and being a blessing to others. And we're not going to just sit by quietly. We're going to be, you know, conscientious of making sure that if somebody's sick, yes, they need to be isolated, and we need to take care of them and their families. But this panic, it's got to stop. It's got to stop, okay? Because we are seeing partiality. We are seeing churches. We are seeing religious events. We just last Sunday, there was churches that were where people were arrested and fined, and they're talking about felony fines when you're sitting in your car and you're worshiping together in a car. But you can go to Lowe's and Walmart and everywhere else, Target and everything else, and sit in your car and sit in groups, but you can't do it at a church. Brothers and sisters, I have a fundamental problem with that. Okay. I believe in Romans chapter 13 that tells us that we are to submit to the government. We are to submit to those authorities and submit to that leadership. But there's also a point in time, like Peter says, do we obey God or man? Right? There comes a point in time where we say, look, we need to stand up for our rights, not because of our rights, not because this is our world and our home. We're waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm waiting for the day the Lord to return and bring his church home to be with him. I'm waiting for that day, and I'm longing for that day, and I pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm waiting for that day. However, while I'm here on earth, I want to be salt and light. I want to be a blessing to you and to everyone I can, and I won't be able to do that if the wicked are showing partiality against the body of Christ. And so, as best as I can, I want to stand up for the rights and the freedom that we have in this nation. I hope everybody can say amen to that. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You can always tell a fool and someone who answers wickedly and roughly, and what type of state their soul is in by the way they conduct themselves. You know, so many times I see Ray Comfort out, and he's out talking to somebody, or Mike Stockwell. They're witnessing to somebody, and they'll say, "Have you ever taken God's name in vain?" And they'll say, "Blank, blank, yeah, I did." And they'll say, "Yeah, well, right there, you did it." And they'll just puff up their chest, and they're proud of it. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing to be proud of. That shows the state of the soul. Now examine yourself and ask yourself, you know, what is your conduct like, your speech like, your character like? Not just around the people that you hold as preeminent, right? Those people you would never say a naughty word around, or an off-color joke, but those people that, oh, well, they're just like me. They're my buddies. They're my friends. It's okay for me to cut up and to say certain things. What's your conduct and character like? You know, you think about it. Your character is who you are when nobody's watching. But what about when those people that join in you with that character, okay, they join in with you? That mouth that comes from that, what comes out of your mouth, that Jesus said, it comes from your heart. Okay. That's what defiles you. And you need to recognize that maybe you're not in Christ, or maybe you are in Christ and you need to be repentant of your sin. I always tell people when they question, well, I think I got saved so and so years ago, and yet I'm walking like the world and acting like the world and talking like the world. I always say this: either you are in Christ, and yet you have fallen into wickedness and sin, and you need to repent, or you're not a Christian, you're a false convert, in which case you're fallen in sin, and you need to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus for the first time. Either way, if you have a vile tongue and a vulgar attitude, and the heart that you're portraying out of your words, your character, and your conduct, if those are wicked, then you need to repent and trust Christ. Amen? Amen to that. Let's see. Let's see, we'll go past verse 9. Let's go to verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and it is safe. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You and I are going through some rough times with the crisis in this planet and around the world. Manufactured, accidental, purpose, whatever it is. We don't know. You know, we have suspicions, but we don't know. Maybe somebody will find out one day, and we'll know for sure. You know, conspiracy theory, reality, whatever it is, we don't know. But I'll say this to you. Can you truly say that Jesus Christ is your strong tower? That you have eternal life and safety in Christ? I always tell my congregation, the people that I love and care about, and anybody that will hear it, and I love you too, if you hear, and I hope you do hear this. When God saved you, the Bible says that he saved you before the foundation of the world. He wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I don't want anybody to take away the security of that strong tower. Okay? You know, so many people say, oh, you can lose your salvation. Well, salvation means to be saved from the wrath of God. Okay? If you lost your salvation, then you're not saved from the wrath of God. Okay? You're saved temporarily at this moment, but that's not true salvation. To be saved means to be saved from the wrath of God, saved from your sin, the guilt and punishment of your sin. The Bible tells us that, you know, our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west and never to be remembered again. Okay? There is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The scripture is clear that when you are in Christ, you cannot be less than in Christ, because you are righteous in Christ. You're always in a right standing with Christ. That doesn't mean that you go around living the life you want to live in the lap of sinful luxury. Okay. People say, well, you're saying that you can sin as much as you want to. And I'll say, yes, you can. If you mean by that, that you don't want to sin, because true believers don't want to. Amen. True believers do not want to sin. True believers do not want to sin, and we want to be righteous in Christ. Margaret, I saw your message there. If it's okay, I'll send you a message after we're done. And I thank you very much for that. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that I see this. True believers, we don't want to sin. We want to be righteous in Christ. We want, as a heartfelt witness, we want to be in Christ. We want to walk with the things of God and live in the things of God, not in the things of the wickedness of the world. A rich man's, verse 11 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall is his own imaginations. Man, I tell you what, this COVID crisis has absolutely proved that to be 100% fact. Think about this, what it's saying. For people that trust in wealth, they have the imagination that their wealth is going to do something for them in crisis, that their wealth can get them out of any situation. They have enough money that they can do whatever they want to, act the way they want to, live the way they want to, and nobody can touch them. And one little virus comes out of wherever it came from, and God just brought that one little virus into being and into existence, because everything is under God's sovereign control. And he allowed that one little virus to silence everybody who was standing there running their mouths. You notice all the protesters and all the riots and all the wickedness of the world and all of the George Soros, wildness that's running around, and all of the social wildness and everything, it's all stopped. People even saying, let's go pray to God. Let's get back to God. Let's get back to the word. Let's, humble ourselves before the Lord, and let's, seek the Lord in Congress. You got people praying and saying stuff from scripture. Do I think it's 100% real? No. Some of it might be just for show, but the rich man, he puts his wealth on display and says, I've got everything I need. I don't need God. And then all of a sudden, God pulls up that little wealth and finance right out from underneath their feet, and they don't have it anymore. So we need to look to being honorable. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. Don't put your trust in your wealth. Don't put your trust in yourself. Be humble before an almighty God. Verse 14, the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can hear it? Who can bear it? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you are struggling right now and you're going through hardship because of this, reach out to a fellow brother in Christ, a fellow sister in Christ. Ask for prayer. Ask them for help in prayer. Okay? Because we can go through sickness. Look, I had surgery. I've had two surgeries on my abdomen. I had appendicitis 3.5 years ago, almost 3.5 years ago, and it was botched and it hurt. It was terrible. I sat there and I begged God to let me die. It hurt so bad. I couldn't explain how bad it hurt, but I suffered through, and I went through that pain. I went through the suffering and the agony of the pain. I just finished Christmas Eve. I had another surgery to fix my abdomen, make it right. And praise God, the doctor did a great job. And yet it hurt again, not as bad as the first one. But in both of these pains, I could make it through knowing there was an end. But in despair of the heart, wondering, okay, what am I going to do next? And how am I going to do things next? Without trusting in the Lord, without knowing that God is sovereign, without trusting in him, I don't have a hope. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And the broken spirit can break us. The hurt spirit, it can break us and cause, inflection, and cause us to look inside of ourselves and not look to the Lord, and the woe is me. And it's a form of pride. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You need me and I need you. We need each other as the body of Christ, as beloved friends. We need to be praying for one another, sharing with each other, talking to each other, laughing with each other. you know, be able to just sit and have a cup of coffee, you know, to have a bagel and to sit and talk, to be able to, me and you get together and we reach out to the world, to the community with the blessed hope that comes from Jesus Christ, the joy that passes all understanding. We need that. Okay. If you don't have that, you know, there's this old saying and it's kind of silly that if you don't know Jesus, you don't know love. Well, it's kind of silly to say that because a person that doesn't understand it, they don't have it. Goose, geese, a couple of them. So anyway, they don't have it. And so they think that's foolish. Okay. It's true, but they think it's foolish. They don't understand it. Okay. But when Christ is living inside of you, you have a peace that you can't explain. Amen. And you need to live that and show that to others. You need to proclaim that truth to others. Share that with others. Be on your email and Facebook and Twitter and Tinder and all those, Reddit and all those other things, sharing the gospel, sharing, you know, the daily devotions. That's the reason we're doing this, is so that you'll be blessed. And I want to get a blessing out of it too. I want to know that you guys are enjoying this and that God is blessing you. Okay. I want to know that God is building you up and that there's anything we can do, you know, financial, food, you know, whatever we can do. I want to be the person that the church that's part of that blessing for others. I would love it if we could have a community cookout and invite everybody to come in and do some gospel singing and gospel music and, you know, worship and time, you know, with inflection, you know, time with, you know, just looking at ourselves and looking at our sin and crying out to God and asking for repentance, trusting in Him and praising Him for the, you know, we've had 25, I believe it's either 25 cases, I believe it is, of this COVID. It may be 45. I just looked at it last night, cases of the COVID here in Sullivan County. We have 150,000 people here. Praise God that we didn't have 1,000 or 100,000 cases, right? We should be able to come together and praise God for that, to worship and honor and glorify God and to be a blessing to others. Let's see. That's why it says the spirit of a man can endure sickness. Okay. But as for the broken spirit, who can bear it? Brothers and sisters, I need you and you need me and we need each other. And as part of the body of Christ, we must be salt and light. The world doesn't have light. All they have is darkness. We have the light of Christ. We have the blessings and honor of knowing Christ and to be able to tell people of Christ and show them the life of Christ in us. Let's see. I apologize just for a second. Give me just one second. Let's look at verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. You know, we all offend people. You know, I've got my kids here and my wife, and we're all in these close and confined spaces, and we need to be quick to repent and quick to forgive. And it's hard sometimes to forgive people of their sin, right? It's, you know, people have done heinous and terrible things, and it's hard to forgive sometimes, right? We sit there and we think to ourselves, you know, they don't deserve it. But the reality is none of us do, okay? I don't care how evil they are. David, King David, he didn't deserve forgiveness when Nathan came to him and said, "You are the man." You know, he had relationships with a man's wife, Bathsheba. He, you know, got her pregnant. He deceived the whole entire country and was disloyal to the country. He put this man in battle and then had everybody else step back as this poor man was battling, you know, against a raging army, and he basically murdered him, right? And that's what God charged him with. But he didn't deserve to be forgiven, but he was forgiven, so much so that his seed is the greater David, the son of David, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he was still forgiven for something very heinous and wicked. We can go all through the scripture and look at people that were forgiven, but think about this. you know, the scripture are important, but personal testimony. Has God forgiven you of the sin of your life, of the wickedness of your life? Did you deserve it? If you didn't deserve it, then you should understand what it is to be forgiven and the need to forgive others. You know, we have to be careful that we can offend others and we can hurt other people. We have to be careful that we can cause division because of our own sinfulness. But brothers and sisters, listen to me. There are many people in this world that come in and bring offense, and they don't care. They look for any reason to stir up strife, and they don't care. We can't be those people that look for division and look for strife and look for quarreling and fighting and the explosion of bitterness that comes with it. We have to be quick to forgive. And sometimes that means we have to distance ourselves from people that we love very much. Okay. But we need to be quick to forgive and quick to be repentant of where we've offended others. Verse 20 says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Now, when we're talking about in the context of being a witness to others, when we're talking about being separated unto the Lord, okay, I want you to think about this. Which is more satisfying for you? That you spent the day alone, or that you spent the day and you were able to be a blessing and a help to others? I mean, it just tears me up when I know that I've been able to help someone, right? And I'm satisfied that I've been a blessing to you. I mean, there's nothing better than be able to be a blessing to someone. I'll go sometimes. I mean, look, right now it's 7:30. Okay, I haven't had supper. I was trying to get everything ready for this evening. I haven't had supper because to me, it's a greater blessing to spend time, you know, talking with you and hopefully being a blessing to you. That's my heart. That's my desire. And I'm satisfied with the fruit that comes from my lips. Okay, that I'm satisfied that hopefully, prayerfully, God is blessing someone with the message that's being spoken and the discipleship that comes from the words that are being spoken tonight. I hope that makes sense. I hope that does. let's see. Let's talk about a couple more. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is a positive and a negative. In the power of your tongue, you have the power to destroy or the power to build up. Which one are you going to be? Are you going to be a blessing, or are you going to be a hindrance? Are you going to be a scourge? When somebody hears your name, are they repulsed and they want to walk away? They don't want to be anywhere near the conversation that involves you. Or are you such a blessing that when somebody hears your name, they say, oh, praise God. She is such a wonderful brother or sister in Christ. They are such wonderful people. Listen, if you know them, it's a blessing to know them. You have the power to bring life into dead souls, to bring life into this world, or destruction by the words of your lips. So be careful what you say and how you say it. Let them. You know, the Proverbs is to let sweet drops of honey pour off of your lips. Let your conversation and your words be sweet and a blessing to others. Hope that makes sense as well. Verse 22, he who finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It is a blessing for you. Men, listen to me. It is a blessing for you to find a good wife, to find a wife. Now, listen, some of you will say, well, she's not perfect. Congratulations, neither are you. Okay. Some of you are going to say, well, she's, maybe that's talking about the godly wife, but she's not that godly. Okay. Are you in the Word? Are you studying to show yourself approved? Are you leading her to holiness and godliness? Are you praying for her? Are you, as Ephesians says, are you the one that lays down his life for her just like Christ did for the church? You see, what your wife is and who your wife is a reflection of what and who you are. your walk and your talk. Men, I'm telling you specifically, because the scripture makes it clear, you're responsible. You have a wife that is full of rage and anger and hate and ready to fight all the time and is bitter and everything else. That comes primarily from your leadership. You may not like to hear that, but that's from the scriptures telling us that we are to guide our wives, we are to love our wives, we're to care for our wives as Christ loved the church. That's the example that the world has. Why do you think the world hates marriage so much? Because it is the perfect example of Christ in the church. And more than that, you are displaying the attributes of the Trinity. Okay? You have two equal partners learning to grow together and in submission to one another for the common goal of glorifying God, of exalting God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together for the common goal of glorifying God. You having the Spirit of God inside of you, being married to your wife, and ladies being married to your husband. It's a beautiful way to represent the Christ and the church and the Trinity all together to the world. And we can't be in struggle and fight and bitterness. You need to recognize, men, that your wife is a blessing from God for you. Ladies, hold your husband accountable. Not by picking on them and being bitter to them, because the scripture makes it clear that you can win them, hopefully even without a word. But listen, expect them and encourage them to be in the word, to study, to show themselves approved, to being the chief priest of their home, to lovingly studying and to guiding you and the family to church, to Christ. There's an old saying, there's a statistic that shows that if you get children to come to church, mothers will come. But if you get a husband to be in church and to be committed in the body of Christ, an entire generations of family will change. Okay? It's a statistical proven fact that if you get men into the body of Christ and in a church and studying in the Word of God and being godly men, they will change the family dynamic by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Men, your wives are a blessing. You should look at her and say, thank you for being such a blessing to me. You should look at her and praise God for the blessing that she is. Okay? Ladies, that was all for you. No, it wasn't. I'm just kidding. The last two, a poor man utters supplications, but a rich man answers roughly. Well, that's pretty well true, isn't it? Poor people, they humbly submit to one another, and they use entreaties, and they trust each other, and rich people just trust on the power of their own wealth. That's why Jesus said it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter to heaven. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and said, Master, what good thing do I need to do to get to heaven? And he says, you know the commandments. And he says, I've kept them all of my life. Really? You've honored God perfectly. You've honored your parents perfectly. You've never sinned? Wait a minute. You're trusting in yourself. He says, go sell everything you have and come to me. Not that it was bad for him to have wealth, but it was bad for him to put all his faith and trust in his riches above God. And the last one, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that there is those true friends that are born for adversity. You know, I have people that are acquaintances, that people I care about. And I'll be honest with you, I care about everyone that I come in contact with. But those true friends of mine, they are born for adversity. And they stick with you. They stick with me. And they prove themselves over the years. You know, they're willing to correct you when you need to be corrected, but they love you in all times. They're friends of great blessing for you. And I hope you have those. If you don't have those type of friends, we need to get better friends. We need to get new friends. You know, you need to be at a church with a fellowship that calls out sin. And you calls out sin in the church, in the body of Christ, that will not, you know, tolerate sin and upholds righteousness and calls us to be salt and light in the world. And I pray that you have that church. And if you do not, please give us a call. Please let us know. Please message us. Please get a hold of us. And we'll either try to find you a church in your area, or if you're close by, let's get together and let's be the body of Christ together and be salt and light. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and I pray that God blesses you this evening, today. Be in the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. Ask questions. Seek the Lord's favor. Seek His Word and His wisdom. And I pray that God blesses you. Thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye. If I can get this to turn off. Okay. God bless.